Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
1 Samuel 17 and 4 says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him." He'd be pretty fearful to see in person. Yeah. It'd be pretty, I think I'd want to stay as far away from him myself. But you know, I think he gives such great description. I want you to see something, because in our terms, you and I, just on our own, coming up against something like that, not very good odds. He wants you to know all the things. He's telling you about all the devices of the enemy right here. "And so he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Let's just go ahead and pray for the lesson today. Amen. Father, thank you today for this word. Thank you for the victory you allow us. And Lord, today we thank you so much for the presence that we have enjoyed in this service. Lord, let us hear what the Spirit would say. God, encourage us, fix our hearts, Lord, and steady us, Lord, as we go through this world and through this word today. God, let it find good ground. Let it challenge us and change us and make us better. Better for you, for the kingdom, for the things we're doing for the kingdom. We ask it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord this morning. You can be seated. God bless you. I'll get to a title in just a moment. But I just didn't want to keep you standing, because I feel myself, as I normally do a lot of times, commentating as I read. but I don't want to pass over something and then forget it. And so he said, this Philistine, Goliath, comes out and he makes a challenge. Send me a man, give me a man, send somebody down to fight with me. And if he can fight with me, if he's able to fight with me. You know, the enemy always wants to challenge the ability of God's people. Send me a man and I don't care if he's wearing armor or what, you know, we'll see if he'll be able to fight with me. I'm so bad that I don't even think he'll be able to fight with me. In other words, he won't be any competition for me. I won't have to worry about him. He knew how big he was. The scripture says he was a man of war from his youth. I don't know how many people he had killed in battle, how many victories just his appearance had won for the Philistines, but it must have been good enough that they felt confident letting him speak for all of them. If I lose, we'll all serve you. I might have been the man in the back, the Philistine in the back would have went, hang on. You serve them. I'm not serving nobody. Oh, if you get out there and trip up and lose, bro, that ain't going to be on me. But he said, if I prevail against him, if I kill your man, then you will be our servants and serve us. You need to know that the challenge has been laid out there today. That there is an enemy that goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's making a noise, just like Goliath was making. And his intention is to strike fear into the hearts of God's people. By getting your eyes on the world and looking at what's going on and thinking, this is out of my hand and this is bigger than me. And But we can't do like Israel was doing that day. They would see this great man, this great stature of a man with all his armor and all his weapons and hear his big booming voice, and probably his reputation had preceded him. Israel always had problems with giants. When they spied out the promised land, they came back, and of course, Joshua, he was like, let's do it. Caleb said, let's do it. But the rest of the spies said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. When they saw how big they were, they forgot that God had drowned a whole army in the midst of the Red Sea. They forgot all the provision that God had done for them in the wilderness. They forgot the miracles that they saw God perform. And what would this one man be against a whole army? I always wondered why, when he walked out, didn't about 10 or 12 of them just run wide open and jump this man? Because he might be big, but he can't swing everywhere at once. You hit him low, I'll hit him high. He can't guard everything, so let's go get him. But it was simply the appearance was enough to strike fear into the heart of a whole army. And that happens when the fear of the enemy is greater than our faith in God. Sometimes we get our eyes and we magnify the problem instead of magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. Friend, God cannot be measured. You don't ever have to say, well, my God's bigger than that. Of course He is. He can't be measured. The enemy had a measure. God is immeasurable. And God can do the miraculous in any situation. But this man threw a challenge down to God's people. If I defeat you, then you will serve us. Let me tell you today, I'm not yielding to the challenge of the enemy, to his threats, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You need to understand and remember today that you belong to God and you are His child. The Scripture says we are the sheep of His pasture, and our shepherd takes good care of His sheep. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, and we are intended to have dominion in this world. We are not to be walked on. We are to be above only and not beneath. We are to be the head and not the tail. We are victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a shame sometimes that people don't activate the victory that they've been given. We've been given the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of us, and power comes with that, but some people have forgot to flip the switch. You know, you can have electricity running to your house, power. Do you have power at your house? Yeah. Well, how come it's dark in here? I just haven't turned on anything. You got to do that. The electric company doesn't come in and flip your lights on every night. That's your job. God shouldn't have to come in and turn the power on every time. That's us. He has given us a measure of faith. He has given us this treasure in earthen vessels, and He has given us power over all the power of the enemy. It doesn't matter how tall he is. It doesn't matter how big that shield or spear or sword might be. But friend, I'm telling you today that God has given us the victory. Yeah? So thanks be to God who has given us the victory. And just as this writer here has described the weapons of the enemy, so God has made us wise to the enemy's devices. God has given us the whole armor, if we would so take it, so that we can win. God is invested in your victory, and He wants to finish the work that He has started in you. But this enemy, this thief that wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy, he's out there. Sometimes he's in here. Our flesh is a big enemy. And sometimes our flesh is greater than our faith. We put so much confidence in our flesh that it will fail, that we don't put faith in God that He'll give us the victory over our own flesh. But we can mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. Yeah? Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. You can make a choice to not do what the temptation wants you to do. You don't have to give in to the threats of the enemy or the threats of your flesh or the temptation that's going on in your life. You can win this battle. Goliath came and defied God's army. He didn't just want to kill somebody. He said, I don't have to kill a bunch of y'all. Just give me one man. And if God's people are able to do anything, if he can't even fight with me and I lose, then we'll be your servants. But, oh, boy, I tell you, it makes you want to smack him, don't it? Talking about God's people like that. Let me tell you, God's people are tough. You read Hebrews chapter 11, you find out God's people are tough, that they wouldn't give in, that they wouldn't give up, they wouldn't surrender, but they held on by faith even when they were tortured and chased and pursued. And it says they put to flight the armies of the enemy. Friend, let me tell you, God's people are tough. He didn't just want to kill somebody, he wanted to enslave them. And that's the whole thing. You know, the enemy didn't even want to kill Job. I just want him to curse you, God. I just want him to curse you to your face. I just want to make it so bad on him, because if he'll do that, I got him. The scripture says, whoever we yield ourselves to, that's whose servants we become. And this is what Goliath was saying. Why don't you go ahead and tap out? Why don't you go ahead and yield and be our servants? You know, in old battles and duels and stuff, they didn't always fight to the death. They would fight if somebody yielded and somebody said, that's it, I give up, I'm losing. They would take that, but you would be the servant of the one that you yielded to. Well, I'm not yielding to nobody but God. I'm not going to yield to the enemy. There's going to be a battle. There has to be a battle if there's going to be a victory. But some, as Israel, as we see in the scripture, that some will run and hide. They might be in God's army, but they have no victory and they have no confidence in the one that they serve. That's just a fact. Israel served the same God that David served. The same God that David loved and sung about and was a man after God's own heart. That same God, Israel served the same God. Saul was anointed by the same prophet that anointed David. And they had everything they needed to win the battle, but they had no confidence in what they had. Oh, I wish God's people would rise up and say, I got confidence in the one who saved me. I've got confidence in the one who healed me. I've got confidence in the one who called me out. If he could do that in my life, he could do anything in my life. God can do it. The scripture says God is a man of war, consuming fire. And he teaches my hands to war. God is mighty in battle. God has never lost. But when you become more impressed with the problem than the solution, you'll start hiding. But can I tell you this? Hiding doesn't stop the enemy. They were hiding every day, and Goliath kept showing up. He said, I want to keep you hiding. He wants to keep you in fear. He wants to keep you backing down. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. God's given us power. Come on, somebody. God hath not given me a spirit of fear. Power. I got a sound mind. I know what I know about God. I know what God can do. And I know the enemy ain't stronger than anybody than him. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I don't care how big they are. I'm trying to help somebody today win the battle. You got to know that what you've got is bigger than anything the enemy could bring against you. Daily he would come out and torment them. His taunting would torment them. Wondering, is today the day that he's going to finally come up this hill and get up? I mean, I would be like, let him come. Just let him come out a little bit too far. He's going to get a little too far from his army, and there ain't no way he can beat 100 of us. It just can't happen. It won't happen. But friend, fear is powerful, but faith is greater. Here comes God's anointed riding in. While they're afraid, while they're hiding, this is going on day after day. It says in verse 32 that David came to the king. He came to Saul and he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Friend, we're going to have to face the thing that wants to destroy us. You're going to have to one day make up your mind and say, you know what, I'm not backing down and I'm not running and I'm not hiding anymore. The challenge has been given. Don't be afraid. I will go. The scripture says many times that we must fight the good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. The challenge is given to us. Will we fight the good fight? Hello. When it comes against you, will you take up your your whole armor of God and fight the battle, or are you going to hide? Come on, is God greater than anything you've ever faced? I know, I'm trying to get somebody out of it today. I'm trying to get you out of your tent, trying to get you out from behind the tree. I know you've been tormented by the daily taunting. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. You don't understand it. You did too much wrong. You're not like them. You're not anointed. You're not this. You're not that. He's telling you all the things that you need to hear to stay afraid. But I'm telling you today that you can stand up and declare today, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's greater than any sickness. He's greater than any fear. He's greater than any addiction. He's greater than anything that's trying to enslave me today, trying to hold me down. Let me tell you, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Honey, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, in case you forgot. That means you've got liberty in the midst of this thing. You don't have to give in to the enemy. The challenge is out there. The enemy wants a fight. I don't want to lose. I don't have to lose. I shouldn't lose, because God has already given me the victory. It's not God's will for us to lose. His word promises us that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So with that, I want to give you a title here, something to think about today with this story of David and what's going on. Face it, fight it, and beat it. Somebody say it. Face it, fight it, beat it. You believe you can beat it? Clap your hands to the Lord in this house today. How many believe you can win? How many believe you can be victorious? But you can't beat it by hiding. You can't beat it while you're running. You can't beat it while you're giving up. But if you'll stand your ground, if you'll stand your ground, I said, if you'll stand your ground in the name of the Lord, there's a victory coming your way. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to believe it today. Come on, honey, God's people ain't meant to be walked on. God's people ain't meant to lose. God's got something for us. David said, I will go and I will fight. Don't worry about it. I'll go. I'll fight. We need some people of God that'll stand up today and say, don't be afraid. I'm going to fight. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to touch the throne. Friend, we need prayer warriors today. Well, we need more prayer warriors raising up in the church today. We talk about numbers and things like that. Numbers ain't nothing if the numbers ain't got nothing. We need people to come in and say, I believe God. We need to be like Paul says, I believe it'll be to me even as God has spoken it. I need somebody that could stand up today and say, I believe God's word and I'll stand on it. I'll bank on it. God's word will back me up. When I pray for the sick, God's word will back me up. Hey, his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. When you pray, the word is backing you up. When you stand, the word is backing you up. When you go to battle, the word is backing you up. So, honey, when the enemy comes in knocking on your door, don't hide. Don't run to the other room. Open that door, face it, fight it, and beat it. Don't sit there and let him talk to you. Don't let him sit there and tell you lies and accuse you and tell you you're not worthy of anything. You are fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. You've been purchased by his blood and filled with his spirit. Friend, you are grafted into the body by his spirit. You understand that today? And we are workers together with him. Friend, sometimes we forget that God's people were soldiers. God's people were an army. It wasn't like it is today. There's a bunch of us just sit home and then there's an army and a navy. If you was in God's people, you was in the army. They'd go through and start pulling them out. Everybody that was this old, guess what? Army. You're going to be in this army of the Lord. You're going out to battle. That's why David's brothers were at the battle. David was not old enough to be there, or he would have been there. He didn't go to fight. He went to bring lunch. But he said, if everybody else is going to sit around, I'm going to show you what one man can do. I'm going to show you what one man who believes. I'm going to show you what one boy can do when he believes God is able. I see him. I the difference probably in the height difference, between David and Goliath. That's why it's always such a big deal. He was so much bigger than David was. And It'd be like me standing up here and, or Nathan ain't here today. I would use him as an example. I'd get that giant over here. Nathan Vaughn, but get him over here and then get somebody like Atticus to run up. That's probably about what it looked like. But David said, hey, Saul, don't be afraid. I'll go fight him. I'll do it. Oh, you can't do that. You're just a youth. But this is a man of war from his youth. He said, I've been keeping sheep while I was just minding my own business, and I had to fight a lion, and God delivered him. I had to grab a bear, and God delivered him. Listen, God gives me victory over things that are bigger than me. God gives me victory over things that are bigger than me. God gives me victory over things that are stronger, mightier, bigger, more awesome than me. I'm just a shepherd boy, but let me tell you, you're not taking my sheep. You're not taking what God gave me, not without a fight. And guess what? Every time I fought, I won. Because I'm still here. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Guess what? You know why you're still here? Because God gives victory to his people. You might feel the effects of the battle, but you're still here. Yeah? You might feel the effects of that battle you've been going through, but you're still here. It hurt your heart. It might even tore your spirit down, but somehow, some way, you're still here. Because when God begins something, it's his desire to finish something. And David had been anointed to be the king, and guess what? He was going to be the king. And so it wouldn't have mattered if it was Goliath and all his brothers, his granddaddy and his granny. It wouldn't have mattered. I say granny because granny is a fierce man. I can't imagine the size switch Goliath's granny would have had. Y'all don't know nothing about grannies with a switch, do you? Let me tell you. It didn't matter because God had already anointed David. And David was a man after his own heart. And God had a plan for David. And guess what? Dying by the hand of Goliath was not in that plan. David's victory was assured. David didn't know. He didn't tell David on the day he was anointed, oh, in a few weeks you're going to run up on this giant. David just understood that it doesn't matter what I come against. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It doesn't matter what I come against. I'm going to be victorious. If it's another lion or a bear or an elephant or a gorilla or a Philistine, it don't matter what it is. I'm going to win because God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, somebody. Don't you believe that today? David was not worried about this. In verse 45, here's David's own words to the Philistine, to Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel that you have defied. I don't have no big sword right here, Goliath. I ain't got a shield to hide from your blows. I don't need it. The name of the Lord is stronger than any weapon formed against me. The name of the Lord is mightier than any enemy I'm going to face. Friend, let me tell you today, if we start trusting in the name of the Lord God, come on, somebody. When we hear about these old-time miracles, people getting healed, we just go all the way back to the book of Acts. When they healed the lame man at the gate, he said it was his name and faith in his name that made this man whole today. He had been born lame. He had been sitting there as long as he could sit there. But friend, when Jesus, the name of Jesus, was spoke over him and to him, friend, and they acted in faith, he rose up and he began to leap and to dance and to run into the temple. His life changed forever. And then you hear about the elders that we've got in our day. Miracles, signs, and wonders. People that were going to have heart surgery that went to revival and canceled their heart surgery. Yeah? People raised from the dead, coming out of wheelchairs, throwing crutches down, blinded eyes open, deaf ears open, devils being cast out. And we're like, where is that today? Well, I ask this question of God's people, where is our faith in the name of Jesus at today? I got to believe him. I got to believe him so I can be saved. I got to believe him when I go down in that water. I got to believe him to receive the Holy Ghost. But friend, where is that faith and that belief when I go to battle? Because David was anointed, and he could have just stayed at home, but he went to the battle. Saul was anointed, and he was staying in his tent. Let me tell you, you can have the same anointing, and you can hide out on it. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I've seen him do too much. I've seen him work too many miracles to stop trusting him now. And friend, let me tell you, when you start believing that, you'll face it, fight it, and beat it. You'll win every time. You'll win every time. You'll win every time. In verse 48 and 49, the result of David's words are right here. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. David hasted, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face on the earth. And then it goes on to say, and David took Goliath's own sword, the sword that he said, I'm going to take you out with. He took that sword and took off the head of Goliath. Let me tell you, God will use what the enemy meant to destroy you, and you can use it to destroy the enemy. That's what your testimony is. That's the sword that the enemy was trying to take you out with. Sometimes it's the sword of addiction, and you took it when Jesus got involved. You took it right out of his hands and won the battle. Oh, I wish somebody could get faith in him right now. I wish you realize that you, even though you've been challenged, even though it looks daunting, even though it looks like something you can't overcome, that in the name of Jesus, you will be victorious. We can't, listen, you can't afford to lose. There's a great cost for loss. Because the defeat does not only affect us, but it can also affect others. If he couldn't beat it, people will say, if they see you hiding in shame, if you see your king hiding in a tent, what are you going to do? If you don't trust, if you trust more in him than you do the Lord, you'll do exactly what he's doing. Well, if Saul won't fight him, I'm not going to fight him. And if he can't beat him, I know I can't beat him. Listen, the enemy wants somebody to be a slave. He wants you to be reminded every day that you are beating and that you serve under loss. Some will run and hide. That's not us. The scripture says some draw back, but that's not us. We don't draw back under perdition, but we are those that believe to the salvation of the soul. We believe that God's going to come through. We believe that God's going to win. We don't have to look at and examine what we're seeing like it's something bigger and better than God. I'm sure people were going, David, have you seen this man? But if you'll be intentional, you can face it, fight it, and beat it. I'm trying to build your faith. Let me give you some things about God. Exodus 15 and 3 says that the Lord you serve, is a man of war. The Lord is his name. What a name. He's a man of war, but then it goes on to tell you the Lord is his name. Friend, the name of the Lord is still a strong tower. The name of the Lord is still powerful. The name of the Lord still works. Friend, I'm glad we know his name. In Psalm 24 and 8 it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Mighty in battle. When does he go to battle? He's in me. And every time I go to pray, every time I go to battle, he's with me. In Psalm 144 and 1, it says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now, I know these guys fought with swords and shields and spears and bows, but the scripture tells me that that's not our weapons. They're not carnal, friend, but he teaches us to lift up holy hands. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all your people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, somebody. God teaches us how to war with our hands. And when we start praising, if you praise him with your hands, you clap your hands to the Lord. You praising him with the Lord. The scripture says he takes that praise and he steals the avenger. He silences the enemy. Very confusing to the enemy when he's trying everything he can to whoop you and you're going, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Very confusing. Oh, come on, somebody. Clap your hands, all you people. I'm not talking about a little old. Hallelujah. I serve the mighty God. You're the mighty God, the everlasting, the almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, there is no God like you. There's nobody compared to you, God. You are my hope, my strength. Hallelujah. When you start clapping your hands, you start stomping your feet, you start lifting up your voice. Praise. How bad the enemy feels when he's doing everything to tear you down and you just start. What are you doing? Praise him in the dance. No, I know I can't dance. You ain't telling me nothing new, enemy. I know I can't dance, but I'm going to dance before the Lord with all my might. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to clap. If I could play an instrument, I'd play an instrument. The only instrument I play is air guitar. That's it. But I never miss a note. Eddie Van Halen ain't got nothing on me. So those are some things you need to know about God. He is a man of war. He is mighty in battle. He teaches us how to win the battle. So you can face it. Here's some scriptures for face it, fight it, and beat it. Psalm 40:61, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help. We was talking about his presence early. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I've got the strength to face it because God is a very present help with me. The earth can be removed and the mountains can be carried into the midst of the sea. But I won't fear. I will face what's coming. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And it's something everywhere that he talks about God being present, God being there, God being by his side. Two different psalms. I will not fear. We will not fear. And he said, I will not fear. He said, what can man do unto me? You can face it. You don't have to hide from it. Stand up to it. Face it. Fight it. We do not surrender. And we don't retreat and we don't hide because greater is he that is in me. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children. You get that? You are of God. God who is mighty in battle. And you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're an overcomer because of him. You can fight it. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is how Paul addresses the saints of God. Finally, brethren, I've preached to you all this stuff, but finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The reason a lot of people are losing battles, they won't take the whole armor. You got to take the whole if you're going to stand. Take the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that you can stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're not going to win any battles without the Word. You got to have the Word of God in your life. And so he's telling you, not only can you face it, you can fight it. There is going to be a fight. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now beat it. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. When does he cause us to triumph? Well, got one, two. When does he cause us to triumph? When does he make us lose? But God always causes us to triumph. If you want to be victorious, live for him. We sing victory in Jesus. It's got to be more than a song. It's got to be the way you live your life. You can't sing victory in Jesus and walk around beaten, defeated all the time. That's double-minded. That's unstable. But you got to walk victorious. You got to live victorious. Come on, you got to preach victorious. You got to sing victorious. You got to witness victorious. You just got to, every breath, every day, whether no matter what you feel, it doesn't take the victory away from you. When you feel discouraged, you're still victorious. When you feel beaten, you're still victorious. Do you not? I wonder how they felt sitting in that prison cell with stripes on their back and they were chained up and they just started singing songs. You know why? Because even in chains, they knew they had the victory. Even with blood running down their back, Paul and Silas knew we've got the victory. And I don't know what they were singing, but maybe they were singing victory in Jesus. Friend, I don't know what they were singing. Maybe they were singing, he'll set me free, he'll set me free. Maybe that's where it came from. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I don't know. But I'm telling you, whatever they were singing, whatever they were praying, and how they were praising God, said, that's my guys right there. They've got the victory. And he opened the doors and dropped off the chains. And they still went on and preached and baptized the jailer and all his house. They just went ahead and kept doing what they were supposed to do because God did not intend them to lose out in this life walking and living and working for him. He said, you're living for me. You're going to take some licks. You're working for me. You might get in a little trouble, but I will always. He didn't say, I'll keep you out of the furnace. He said, I'll keep you through the furnace. Yeah. He might not keep you out of that den of lions, but he'll keep you through that den of lions. And he might keep you out of the valley of the shadow of death, but he'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on, somebody. Because God, thanks be to God, it always causes us to triumph. I need to go ahead and let the musicians come this morning or this afternoon. I hope I'm helping you. You can face it, fight it, beat it. And those three things, if we can't face it, we won't fight it. And if we won't fight it, we'll never beat it. You've got to have all these things going on in your life. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, again, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over again, God gives us the victory. God gives his saints the victory. God gives us the ability to win. Stand with me this morning. Right now, we live in a time, I mentioned this the other night, and it's just, friend, God's people are fighting battles on every front. Precious people we know that have illnesses in their body. I know some great saints of God that are fighting cancer and different things in their body. And you know, you're like, my goodness, don't ever think, well, man, they serve God. They shouldn't get sick. Friend, it happens. But you know, I see some of them like that, and they just keep praising God. And they just keep saying, pray for me, talk to God for me. I love him. I'm not giving up on him. I'm not quitting. You know, every time I talk to Sister Joyce Sylvie, she tells me every time, I'm not quitting, Pastor. She says, I wish I could be there, but I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. You know, God's brought me this far. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm not quitting. There's something that gets in you that you realize that, hey, God's got me. God, and you know what? And when she closes her eyes on this earth, she'll open them to see the Lord. And she'll be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't have to give up. God gives us the victory. And I know in this room, people are fighting battles and going through things and facing things and got questions and things, but just know that God has got you. David had never, I've never faced this, Pastor. Well, David had never faced a giant either, a Goliath. The scripture didn't even call him a giant in that passage, but he's Goliath. And it tells us how big he is. But David had never fought a man like that. David had never been to a battle before in his life. But even in his first battle, it was the same as his last battle. Victorious. 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 And God has made his people victorious today. And I saved this one. I know I've already quoted it, but I saved this last one, Psalm 47 and 1. Oh, clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. The old timer, Sister Everhart, would say, clap your hands till your watch falls off. They didn't believe in no little. They was like, I mean, you see some of them old revival, they'd be start way back here. Pow! Like a thunderclap, just all the way back to there, clapping and praising God. Just as loud and just as hard as they could do because they were so thankful for the victory, or they wanted that victory. Maybe victory wasn't there yet. Maybe it wasn't realized yet. Maybe it hadn't manifested yet, but they knew that it was coming. And so they just went ahead and praised God like they knew at any moment God's about to break through. God's fixing to make something happen. I'll tell you right now, today in this house, God's about to make something happen. There's a victory coming your way. So if we could begin to clap our hands and praise God, clap our hands. All you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Go ahead and declare your victory today. Go ahead and declare your victory today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.